We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead.
Today we are fortunate to have with us Program Director Travis Tucker from the Wisdom House, talking about the programs and offerings of the Wisdom House. It is an interfaith retreat and conference center, presenting programs in spirituality, wellness, the arts, and ecology, offering hospitality to academic, civic, nonprofit, and business organizations. The Wisdom House is committed to sustainability, justice, and welcoming people of all backgrounds and beliefs. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. So why don't you start out by telling us about where you were born and who your parents were?
I was born in Harrisonburg, Virginia, which, for people who don't know, I guess would be the home of James Madison University. And my mother, well, I come from a family of educators. Both my parents are teachers. My father is a professor, in fact. And my mother was always a middle school teacher. She's now retired. And my grandfather was a principal at a school. He
Wow.
later became a minister. And those are my parents.
So why do you believe God selected them for your formation?
That's an interesting question, because my parents are divorced. And so why were they selected? Well, everyone's got a story and everyone has a unique background. And clearly the teaching is in my blood from both my parents. And being an athlete, that's in my blood from my father. He was quite the athlete back in high school. And my mother, I can't say enough positive things about my mother. She's always been such a nurturing and supportive force in my life, and I adore her. She's having a little trouble right now with a kitty cat I just took her. I had a stray cat show up in my neighborhood, and my mother had a cat who just passed away about 3 years ago. And so I said, all right, well, I can't keep this cat. I have a cat and I have a dog. And so this cat is a kitten, in fact, not even a cat. It's a kitten. And I said, all right, you know, I'm going to do something nice and take my mother a cat, kitten. Drove down to Virginia. All right, long 10-hour drive with the traffic in New York and Washington, D.C. And took it down to my mother. And she was a little excited at first, but now she calls me the other day saying, I don't know if I can keep this cat. The cat's all over the place. It's getting in everything. I said, well, Mom, relax. It's only a few months old. Maybe once it gets neutered, it'll be okay. It'll slow down, calm down a little bit. You know, it is a male cat. He probably wants to get out of the house and do his thing. But she felt bad because she knew I was trying to do something nice for her. She knows how much I do adore her and want to make her happy. And hopefully the cat will work out. Off will, but
otherwise, you'll be making another trip.
Otherwise, I'll be making another trip, you know. So,
and so, why was your father selected?
I think, if anything, to give me some guidance into how I wanted to be a father. And I say that in negative terms to some degree. I respect my father, but we're different people, very different people, intellectually, emotionally, spiritually. And he was not particularly connected with me. I don't know about his other kids, but I've always sought to be extremely connected to my children and children everywhere. I love kids I didn't always love kids. I found out once I had kids how much I love kids, but I've always tried to be a very good parent.
And so look back into your childhood and think about your earliest memories or awareness of God for yourself. Talk about that.
Well, as I like to joke, I'm African-American and I'm from the South. So that gives me pretty much three choices in terms of, as I said, Baptist, Pentecostal, ME, and my grandfather was a Baptist minister. He got the call late in life. And my mother always took me to church when I was younger. I went to Guilford Baptist Church in Petersburg, Virginia. And I've always been spiritually connected, even when we stopped going to church for a while. I guess God's just been with me, always next to me, like in footsteps or carrying me along. And so I've never been able to leave my spirituality behind me or wherever. So now that said, with the Christian background that I have, I should mention that I have a lot of interest and sympathy with Eastern religion and philosophy. I studied martial arts for a while, and I'm of that generation that grew up watching Kung Fu with my grandfather, the David Carradine show. And then I read Shogun back when I was in 11th
grade. That was a big book.
That was a big book, let me tell you. And it drives me crazy nowadays when I tell people, oh, you should read Shogun. It's a great book. And they look at it and say, oh my gosh, how big is that? This is 1,200 pages. Oh, no. And this is the educator in me. He says, don't you understand that the books that are long like that, the characters are indelible. They will stay with you forever. I only know of one really
short. Like Moby Dick.
Yes,
absolutely.
You're never going to forget these people. No. I can't invest that much time. Okay, fine. But point being, it was a very influential book. It has stayed with me for years. And I have to admit, I'm also from that generation where I saw all the Star Wars movies. Okay? And I'm a big Yoda fan. And anyone who walks to my office, they will notice right away that I have two Yoda figurines. And that's two out of about 20 that I have at home. And I have a picture of Yoda in the room. And I even have the Tao of Yoda, because Yoda is very much imbued with Eastern philosophy and a lot of Taoism. And
do or don't do, there is no problem.
That is right.
Yes.
And his ally is the Force. Mm-hmm. So it binds us and helps us grow. So a lot of that is infused in my own personality, my philosophy. And that's pretty much my background.
So how did you journey into the field of religion? Because you have a PhD in religion. How did you pick that?
Well, that's an interesting story. When I was an undergrad, it started all the way back when I was an undergrad. I went to the University of Virginia, and I started out as a philosophy major with government, as double major. And I hated the philosophy department. I hated philosophy. I thought when I studied philosophy in college, I was going to get to tackle big questions like, what's the purpose of life? And what's the right thing to do? And you do a little bit, but academic philosophy, you spend so much time talking about minutiae. It took me back to the scholastics, like Aquinas, where you're trying to discuss how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. It drove me nuts. So philosophy and religion were often interconnected, have been interconnected since the dawn of time. And so I took a couple of classes in the religious studies department and found out, I think I like the religious studies department. I'll do that instead. And so I ended up with a double major in government, religious studies, and got a minor in philosophy. Well, make a long story short, after some forays into the law and moving out to Colorado, and I finally said, okay, I want to go back to grad school. So my wife, well, actually my fiance at the time, she made one of the most astute comments to me that she ever made. She said, well, look, before you go back to school, what do you want to study? And she, just ask yourself one question. Where in the bookstore do you go first? I said, all right, the philosophy section. That makes sense.
Okay.
So I decided to apply to graduate school to pursue a philosophy degree. Well, maybe that advice wasn't quite as astute as I took it at the time. Because guess what happened? I got to Yale, and the exact same thing happened. I hated the philosophy department. So I took some classes with the religious studies department. I took some classes at the divinity school. And I said, wow, I like the religious studies department a little bit better. So once again, I ended up with a double major, well, a joint degree, a joint PhD in philosophy and religious studies with a specialization with religious ethics.
So how did that preparation put you in place for the position you have in now, developing programs? How did it prepare you?
Well, you know, when I first saw this position and when I first found out about Wisdom House, I said, wow, we have a lot in common. And after having a discussion with several of the daughters of wisdom, they said, well, you, I don't know if you can be a daughter of wisdom, but maybe you could be a son of wisdom.
Mm.
This notion that, you know, they have a firm belief in the, in reality as being interconnected and sacred. And I said, well, that really appeals to my Taoist philosophy and this emphasis on wisdom. And obviously for the daughters of wisdom, wisdom is rooted in Christ. But of course, as a philosopher by definition, the word is derived from the Greek, philia and sophia. A philosopher is a lover, that's what philia is, of sophia, wisdom. So I said, wow, this is the perfect place for me. And then the programs had been traditionally about traditional Christianity. I looked at some of the oldest programs when the place first opened up 70 years ago. And throughout, there have been programs that have tried to educate with regard to traditional Christianity. There's also been a blossoming of programs that address interfaith issues. There is, if anyone who comes to the facility, we'll see we have an art gallery. So there have been a lot of programs that speak to the relationship between art and spirituality. And of course, if anyone comes to Wisdom House, the first thing they will notice is a beautiful locale. It's right there in Litchfield Hills. It's green all around. It's mountains. The next few weeks, the leaves are going to change. If ever anyone wants to come, now is the time to come to Wisdom House. So you can't help but come up there and be inspired. And so naturally, there have been a lot of programs about nature and spirituality. Now, my personal background as an educator gives me a certain agenda where I would like to see programs, an expansion to reach younger people. And by younger, I don't mean fifth grade, but some of the population that I worked with, like high school, college age, because I had a lot of students who didn't know a lot about religion. As a philosophy professor, I didn't get a lot of opportunities to talk about it. But it would be nice to reach that group. And also, there's growing abundance of people who define themselves as spiritual, right? And a Pew Center study recently said, okay, well, number one reason for that is because, okay, unbelief. Fine, that makes sense. But take that out. And the next two reasons are really a lack of knowledge about religion. And of course, a desire not to be involved with an organized religion. So it would be nice to provide some knowledge about religion to a lot of these people who don't know much about it, but also give them a safe space for exploring them. Okay, you don't want to have to go to church. You don't want to have to go to an organization. Guess what? Come to Wisdom House. We're very open to having you here and having you explore your spirituality as you want.
We're talking with Travis Tucker, who is the program director of the Wisdom House, and we'll be back after the break.
Come fly with me, let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Come fly with me, let's float down to Peru. In Llama Land, there's a one-man band, and he'll toot his flute for you. Come fly with me, let's take off in the blue. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just fly starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. Just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly away. Once I get you up there, where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so near. You may hear angels cheer, 'cause we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a lovely day. You just say the words and we'll beat the birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's perfect for a flying honeymoon, they say. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Rain on my face hasn't stopped raining for days. My world is a flood, but slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that beat up so high, then I can't. Splashing in the ocean, I'm losing control. Dark sky all around, can't feel my feet touching the ground.
But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves, to be up so high that I cannot fall and be alone.
And guilt that overthrow me. selfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you gave your life for me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love performed for me. Nailed in your hands, nailed in your feet. Pierced in your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain standing in awe of the price you paid. I never knew of a love so true.
You gave your life and still I hurt you. Lost so many times to find you again.
But I repent, forgive me for my sin.
You paid it all up on the cross. You bled and died, cause I was lost. So here I am, surrendered. In exchange for the blood you shed for my sins,
yeah.
So I surrender my heart, my life, my all as a living sacrifice, Lord. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight so I can have everlasting life.
You gave
and
your life.
Still I hurt you.
So many times,
so many times I crucified you. Forgive me for
you
my sin.
Up
on the cross, you bled and died.
You bled and died.
I was so lost.
Here I am,
surrendering all. Lord, hear my cry.
Welcome back. We're talking with Travis Tucker, who is the program director of the Wisdom House. So in your role as leading programs at the Wisdom House, how do you go about determining the breadth and depth of programming that might come your way?
Well, fortunately, my predecessor, Sister Joanne Iannotti, did a magnificent job of providing programs that had a lot of breadth and a lot of depth. And so, again, fortunately, she left behind past brochures that I can look at for guidance. So that gives me some help in determining which programs might be successful, which will speak to many interests that she's learned people have over the years. And before the break, I was mentioning how there are groups that I'm trying to expand to, namely youth, the spiritual but not religious crowd. But also, I didn't mention the males out there, because males are the least spiritual of our species. And again, more studies have come up and say, okay, well, women tend to be more spiritual. And I think that's really troubling, because let's face it, the monks came before the nuns. So what happened? And I wonder if a lot of men out there today seem to think that, well, addressing my spiritual needs is somehow wimpy, it's feminine. I don't want to do that. And it would be nice if we could have a space, some time, for men to meet up and talk about this. Because there are three parts to us. We do have the mind, body, and spirit. Excuse me. And people have no problems going to the gym. People have no problem, say, going to school. But, oh, I don't want to deal with the spiritual part. I don't want to go to church. Okay, fine. Again, you don't have to go to church. But you do need to address that spiritual side.
But a lot of men who are engaged in recovery are opening the door to spirituality.
Yes, yes. And that is part of that right there explains why addressing the spiritual side is so important. Because so many people out there today, we're so distracted. We have chaos in our lives. We have no joy, no peace. And we keep looking for some sort of way to find it. And we want instantaneous gratification. Everything takes time. It takes work. It's going to be worthwhile. It's going to require some effort. And I don't know if it's because they don't want to put forth the effort towards the spiritual development, or if they just want the instantaneous gratification, or if it's because they just don't have a clear path. But if they can address that, if they can find something to cling to, and I'm speaking of everybody here, not just the males, but the youth and the spiritual but not religious group, they can find something. It will help them on the path towards peace. Everyone needs a path, I believe. Because otherwise, you're just wandering all over the place, right? Like the Israelites in the desert. You've got to have a path.
And so when you think about the programming, what are some of the offerings that you're exploring at this time as you're looking at the future programming of the Wisdom House?
Well, future programming, we have some programs in place now. We've got some great programs coming up that are interfaith, for example, multi-faith, I should say. And going forward, we're trying to integrate, bring back music. A lot of people, again, we have a beautiful chapel that is great for music. And even some of the other spots around the building have great acoustics that are good for music. And music elevates the soul. Music, again, has always been connected with spirituality in Christianity and Judaism, you name it. So we're trying to have more musical programs. We, of course, are maintaining the artistic programs. And again, I guess just bringing forward more programs that are going to, I try to divide the programs into two areas, educational and experiential. So I mentioned before how there are a lot of people out there who don't know a lot about religion and spirituality. I'm hoping to advance more programs that are educational for those people. And again, maybe this is the educator in me. And these could be just little workshops, 1 hour, 2 hour. Come to Wisdom House this weekend, intro to Buddhism. Or this weekend, intro to Taoism. Or one day during the week, here's a film on Islam. Just for the educational aspect. And then, of course, for people who are a little more knowledgeable, who have progressed a little bit on their spiritual journey, some experiential programs that are more holistic, so that they can involve mind, body, and spirit.
And so when you think about the programs that are on the horizon and the audiences you want to bring in, How do you want to get the word out? What's going to be the method to let people know about the programming at the Wisdom House?
Well, funny that you should ask, because we're in the midst of putting together a strategic plan, and I'm sure that's going to be part of the strategic plan. We're trying to update the website, and we have brochures that go out in the mail on a regular basis. We have some smaller brochures. We're perhaps putting together some postcards. But personally, I think the best way for word to get out is for people to just come.
Absolutely.
Come, experience the place, and you'll go home and say, oh my gosh, you've got to come to Wisdom House. This place is amazing.
And people are definitely hungry in these times to have different experiences in their life. So when you think about the programming of the Wisdom House and its potential, what do you think the impact could be on people if they were to experience programming like the Wisdom House?
Well, my dream, which I hinted at, is for people to come to Wisdom House, experience a program, leave feeling rejuvenated at a minimum and refreshed, but also hopefully they've learned something, and ideally that they have strengthened their commitment to something, some ideals, some goals that they have, some principles, some path that they have set themselves upon and move forward. There's a saying in my household, commitment conquers chaos. And so many of us are walking around the world of chaos. And I would love for someone to leave Wisdom House with a greater commitment in order to be able to conquer that chaos.
We're talking with Travis Tucker, who's the program director of Wisdom House. We'll be back after the break.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
Travel near or far.
Travel near.
Now gonna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. I wanna be where you are. Gotta be where you are. Come on, raise it before I'm saying, wanna be where you are. Gotta be.
Gotta be where you are.
I wanna be where.
Wanna be where.
Dependent on Jesus, and there's no point without him. It's a waste of time without him, right? Yeah. Feel free to sing with us. The song is simple. It says,
tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. I can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. Can't live without you. Oh, tell me, what can I do? 'Cause I can't live without you. No, I can't live without you. Here's my heart, here's my mind. I give you my soul, Lord. Need you to take control. 'Cause I tried it all, tried it on my own, but what I found is I can't make it on my own. I can't make it. take control, 'cause I've tried it on my own, but what I found is I can't make it.
Yeah.
Sing it out.
your heart and say, oh, 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 oh.
Welcome back. We're talking with Travis Tucker, the program director of the Wisdom House. So when you think about where you are on the spiritual path now, what has your spiritual attention? God has a way of putting us in different places to wake us up in different ways.
What has my spiritual attention? Well, unfortunately for me, personally, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. And so I put a lot of pressure on myself to be ethical, for example, to live up to certain standards. And I recognize not everyone does. But if we're talking, say, what has my spiritual attention? It's always something involving ethics or personal growth, self-help. Globally speaking, as I think I've pretty much hinted at throughout, what really has my spiritual attention are the young people of America, first of all, but young people all over. It drove me crazy. And I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but it drove me crazy when I was a professor, how I would ask questions about, say, ethical dilemmas. And I'd get an answer. And the kid would say, well, I would do X. And I would make a minor change to the dilemma. Oh, well, I would do Y. And then I'd make maybe another minor change. Oh, well, in that case, I would do Z. And I'd say, well, wait a minute. You do understand that you have abided by three completely, not only three completely different answers, but behind your answers are three completely different philosophies. You're all over the place, right? You're like a wave up and down, bobbing. You've got to commit to something and be consistent. Sometimes you'll make mistakes. That's fine. All right. But you have to have something to give you some focus. And same thing. I would love to see some young people come to Wisdom House, learn a little bit, perhaps, and just gain some focus. We're talking about spiritual focus, just like I was talking about philosophical focus, but have something to give you some grounding in your life.
And for so many people, we're busy thinking about, well, let me go on vacation, where I just check out, or maybe I'm entertained at Disney World or something like that. But the idea of taking time away on retreat or to engage in programming that might shift your ethical perspective or your spiritual point of view, different idea. And so many people need that rich soul food that the Wisdom House offers.
Yes.
So
yes.
Talk about some of the programming that you have in mind coming up.
Well, before I talk about programming, I just want to reiterate what you just said. And that's so important. Today, we're always so connected. And we feel like we can't disconnect and we're afraid of silence. And sometimes that is the most important time of the day, the most important time of the week. Just shut everything off.
Mm.
Just go sit outside. Close your eyes. Listen to the sounds of the crickets at nighttime. And let whatever thoughts into your mind. Just let them flow through, perhaps deal with them. But we need some space. We need some time to collect our thoughts, and we go from one thing to another. And so more specifically going to programming. Again, the programming I'm thinking of as educational, experiential, and for the quieting part, that's where we have the retreats. People can come and they can have the retreats. And who knows, then they can come back, or before they come for the retreats, they can learn a little bit and then decide, oh, I want to do a retreat and meditate on what I just learned about Taoism or Hinduism, right? So the retreats and the programs have, in some sense, different functions, but they are cooperative functions.
Mm. And so the opportunity to quiet the mind and also stir up that soul. So as you think about your role as a program director and the work that you're doing through the Wisdom House, what is the impact you want to have on the community and the world through this work?
Well, again, to be repetitive, I just want to see people come to Wisdom House, experience some programs, learn a lot, grow a little bit, and commit to something so that they can grow a lot.
And so if someone wants to find out more about the Wisdom House, how do they do that?
Well, first thing is come to Wisdom House. That's the best way to learn about Wisdom House. We're in Litchfield. It sounds like it's far away for some people. I've never understood how no one wants to drive here in Connecticut. I lived in Colorado. Everything was, you know, half hour away. I lived in D.C. It took an hour and a half to go 10 miles. Litchfield, this state, it's so small. You can get from one end to the other in an hour.
We have a 20-minute limit in Connecticut. You don't drive over 20 minutes.
Yeah. And apparently the roads are cleared when it snows up there. So first of all, come to Wisdom House. Second of all, go to the website, www.wisdomhouse.org. And third, we have bulletins out everywhere, and check the local paper, check your mailbox. Who knows what's coming in the mailbox soon.
Travis Tucker, we thank you for your service at the Wisdom House.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life.
Looking for a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby's for the game. Nope, nope, y'all can't copy yet. Glad, moonwalking, and this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker soup game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T. And hustling, chasing dreams since I was 14 with the four-track busting. Halfway across that city with the back crush. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give that to the people, spread it across the country. Labels out here, now they can't tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Here we go back, this is the moment. Tonight is the night, we'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
I'm so damn grateful. I grew up really wanting gold fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We rock. Time to go off. I'm gone. Deuces goodbye. I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer now. Nah, I never ever did it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people now. Sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands. This is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.